This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning.
Good Sunday morning to you, Scott. You know, this is that time of year in Montana which reminds me of being involved in a relationship with a fickle partner. You know, one day they love you, the next day they hate you. One day you're doing everything right, you're doing something wrong the next day. This time of year where one day you look out the window, it's beautiful, and you want to go play golf. 20 minutes later, there's grapple falling everywhere.
Right.
You know, I've lived here full-time 25 years, and I'd say half the time in the first week of May you have snow on the ground, and half the time you're wondering if summer was just around the corner. So it's a fickle time of year, and you know, it's just something that you get used to and you got to live with here in Montana.
Totally.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing good, but you're right, Arn. We were going to play golf this afternoon and woke up to snow.
Yeah, and grapple, and it's sunny and then it's dark and it's sunny. You can't figure out what you're supposed to do, you know.
And it's the magic of Missoula.
Right. The only good thing, the saving grace, is that almost every professional sport is on right now.
We're in our glory right now.
You know, so you're watching, you know, the basketball playoffs, the hockey playoffs, Major League Baseball is into, you know, 15 or 20% of the season's going on. We just had the pro football draft. They're going to be getting geared up again for summer practices and then preseason. Everything's going on at one time. Soccer, Olympics this summer, all the stuff is going on. So for those of you who are listening who are sports enthusiasts, you know, all of that plus golf on TV and in real time, at least.
In real life,
unless there's grapple falling everywhere.
And this is the last weekend, the weekend we're taping, that they're skiing in Big Sky.
Yeah, so we've got everything.
How lucky are we?
Montana is the mecca at this point in time for all things.
I would agree.
That's very exciting. And today we have an interesting guest, Mark Loesch, who's president and CEO of the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. And you know, Montana is a state that even now, when I came here, it was the case, and it's still the case 25 years later, state made up of small businesses. Majority of the businesses
right. In
Montana have less than 5 employees, which is surprising. You know, you think about a business, and you think about lots of workers, but a majority are very small businesses, and they don't, on their own, have a chance of surviving in a very complex business environment without some support mechanisms. And for 105 years, I think, or 120 years, actually,
the
Chamber of Commerce here in Missoula has been a focal point for small businesses to get, you know, support, to get resources, to, you know, have safety in numbers and do all kinds of things that collectively, 1,000 organizations with 24,000 or 25,000 employees can deliver that you could never do on your own.
On your own, sure.
As a very small business. So I'm anxious to hear, Mark is a relatively new head of the chamber here, replacing Kim Luttrell, who was here for as long as I've been here and longer. It'd be interesting to hear what he thinks of as his role and responsibility, where the chamber is going in the future. There's lots of issues that businesses are tackling. How does, what role does the chamber play in dealing with all of these things? From taxation to artificial intelligence to, cyber hacking and fraud. And
sure.
So many things going on that businesses didn't have to deal with, 20, 25 years ago, or even 10 years ago. They're confronted with now, and it'd be interesting to see the chamber as a representational organization, how they are interfacing with their members to try to help them navigate their way through some difficult new experiences.
Yeah, no, Mark is fit for the job. He actually was at the chamber many years ago, left to gain the experience. He'll talk a little bit about that, to then come back in this new and exciting role. Can't wait to hear about his vision.
It'll be very interesting, and it's a good time to hear about it and learn about a new vision. And it's time to have a new vision.
Exactly.
Can't be looking back. The examples from 10 years ago don't really work anymore.
Not anymore.
So we need new thought and new leadership and new action, and we'll see what Mark has to say about all that.
When we come back, our guest is Mark Losch, the president and CEO of the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. Back after these words. All right, Arnie, we are back with our guest, Mark Losch.
Mark, it's good to see you here.
How are you? I'm excited to be here. I'm any better to be legal.
That's a good attitude on a nice day like today. So you're relatively new in your position as CEO and executive director of the chamber.
That is correct.
Relatively, in the 120-year history of the chamber. Yeah. Relatively. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to this position.
How much time do we have?
We've got plenty of time.
I grew up north of Spokane, mm-hmm. a place called Deer Park, yes. on 80 acres. My uncle had 240, and his neighbor had 340, and we co-op farmed. So I grew up bucking bales, fixing fence, and I started raising cattle at 8 years old. And at 15 years old, I had to make a decision. Do I want to play football or raise cattle? So I decided the wrong decision, to play football. But I happened to do some really successful breeding of a certain bull to all of my animals, and I sold my entire herd to a person who had this number one bull in the country, but I had the first calves he hit the ground. And so I sold my herd for about $21,000 in 1977.
A lot of money.
My dad pulled his retirement from the Spokane County Road Department. We opened a restaurant in Deer Park called The Breadboard, and it was a family restaurant 7 days a week, the whole thing. And I got into business at 16 years old as a half-owner restaurant, and spent my time in the kitchen. By the time I was a senior in high school, I was managing the restaurant and had a work release. And in that time in 79, 80, and 81, we had some interesting times of you got in line for gas. Remember the 18% mm-hmm. interest, all that?
So yes.
Spokane County got hit hard because they stopped logging. They had 25% unemployment in Spokane County. The numbers say less, but that's what it really was. And we had someone that really wanted us to be in the Tacoma area. So we packed up a restaurant, moved to Tacoma. I opened in Tacoma. Then I opened a burger stand in Tacoma. Then I opened a place called the Baker's Dozen, which was a full deli, New York-style deli.
Uh-oh.
In New York, in Tacoma. I was in New York when I was 16, and I got to experience a really good deli.
Oh, good.
And that'd be a whole nother story. And I did that and then lost them in a corporate takeover in 86. And went to Alaska and fished for a year, came back and got back into business. And until I got here in January of 2016, I owned my own business three more times. I did three startups, and I built verticals for two existing companies. One was a job site security system using technology for Paul Allen's Vulcan Group in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was in 1994, I was part of a team that developed a small arms and crew weapons cleaning system for the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the next 7 years at every Army and Marine Corps base four times a year doing briefing setups and training.
So you come here in 2016, and what happened?
So I was here in 2009.
Nine.
Taking a startup to market called whocanhelp.com.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I met Kim Luttrell, the CEO of the chamber.
Right.
We should work together someday. And December 21st of 2015, she reached out and said, I really need a membership director. Would you be interested in leaving Everett, Washington, coming to Missoula? Done. And
you love Missoula.
Yeah, I love Missoula. So I came over and got set up. My wife is a trailing spouse because I had a daughter who was a senior in high school. And we rebuilt the membership structure of the chamber. And at that time, I knew this is what I wanted to do. This is what my life of 35 years of business was preparing me for. And I actually love helping businesses grow.
But you left.
I did. So
what happened there?
Well, in 2021... Kim started talking a little bit about maybe there's an in for me sometime. I might need to retire.
Right.
And I didn't think that there was a really strong shot for me being just the membership director to be able to become the CEO, which is what I wanted. So I found a chamber in West Spokane, which is Genie, Mountain Lake, Arrow Heights. Eastern Washington University was there. The airport's there. Fairchild's there. That had shut their chamber down because of COVID for like 16 or 17 months. So I got there and rebuilt that chamber, new back-end operating system, new website, new board, new budget, and turned that chamber around, but made sure some people here in town knew what I was doing. And then when Kim finally did give notice, I had enough experience developed there to become a candidate here. And I was blessed to be one of 64 applicants, and I made it through
wow.
the grind.
Wow.
Wait, did someone say to you in 2021, you need to get real management, more management experience of a chamber to even be to be considered for this role?
No one here did.
But you knew enough.
But when I took that startup to market in 2009, I did it through chambers of commerce across the United States. So I have about 9 to 10 chamber CEOs I'm really good friends with. And
got
talking
it.
To them, they said, you need to go do this.
Right.
And so I was blessed to find a way
so
to do that.
So you made it through a 64-person screening and,
yeah.
and took over when?
January 2nd.
Of?
This year.
Of this year.
Hasn't been 4 months yet.
Right, so you're 4 months in. What are the challenges facing the... Well, let me back away from that for a second. Before we talk about that, tell us a little bit about what the chamber looks like now. How many members? How many individuals are represented by those members? What's the profile now?
So we have about 3,000 people that see our newsletter. We have somewhere about 650 members right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could nail it down the math. We had 621 when I got here. We've added 33 new members in 3 months.
Wow.
So we're growing. I think part of that is they see a new focus and a new direction. Anything new creates excitement. We're doing some wonderful things. We just had our state of Missoula that we sold out. That was a great success with all seven organizations on the stage, city, county, MEP, Midtown, Downtown, Destination, and the university. And everybody got 10 minutes of, what are you doing right now? It was called Missoula, State of Missoula Right Now. And I think that because of my relationships I had before,
right.
and I left on good terms, a lot of people were excited that I came back. And that was a really nice blessing to have that. So our focus right now mm-hmm. is collaboration. And that means connecting with those organizations. Only through collaboration and all of us working together can we move Missoula forward.
So it's my whole advancing business through collaboration.
Advancing business through community collaboration, community ABCs.
ABCs.
If we can reach through to the community and connect with the community, I'm automatically connecting with my members
mm-hmm.
and
right.
future members and those that never looked at the chamber before. And then you've got to do something that gives them a reason to participate and engage.
Correct.
You have to connect, engage, and grow. You have to connect first, and then you have to give them a reason to engage. And if they engage, then you got to give them proof of growth. So how do you do that? Take all the events and put them in a bucket. Those are wonderful things. But what are we doing on a daily basis to give someone a reason to be engaged in the chamber? Are we helping you with training? Are we doing classes? Are we sharing information? Are we giving advocacy of what's going on with the city? Are we saying what's going on in the county? It's being involved in the code reform, which I'm on that committee. It's being involved in the SAM downtown, which I'm on that. It's being involved with the urban camping, which is another meeting tomorrow. I'm involved in that. And then getting that information and sharing that with the community lets them know that we are engaged.
And is that enough? Or do you have other things that you need to add? No, I'm serious.
He's laughing because he knows me. That's just the start.
That's what I figured. That yeah, I can see the energy percolating up, you know, right
you're
in the
studio. Imagine a member at 9:30 or 10 at night saying, I really need help with this subject. Let's say HR. I'm going to hire my first person, or I'm going to make a change and have to get rid of someone. How can I get some advice? So imagine going to the chamber website, click on the tab that's not there yet, but it's going to be there called professional development. And in there, you can click on a library of members training members. So you could click on that and type in, I need HR help, and four different videos come up, just like YouTube. We're going to copy it. And you could have someone saying, here's the three things you need to think about when you hire someone. So how do we load that? Well, we're going to start this summer having free in the chamber twice a month at lunch that you can come in and learn something, a skill, something that's going to help your business. So we're going to record those, edit them down, and those are going on the video. So then we have training capability 24/7 without having to be in front of someone.
Right. So
that's smart.
35 years of business experience.
Preparation.
And preparation for this job. But what's facing us now is, I think, a generationally different set of dynamics than maybe, you know, in the midst of your business career running restaurants. You got things with cyber hacking and cybersecurity. You have artificial intelligence. You have new technologies emerging all the time. You had the COVID epidemic that changed a lot of how businesses operate and the dynamics of businesses. How are you staying on top of all of this in order to give advice and give direction and figure out what services members need?
By connecting to the community and the people that have that expertise. But see, we have this wonderful source in our backyard on the other side of the river from my office, University of Montana.
Yeah, you do.
Now, they just completed a complete cybersecurity check of our system. On Monday, I get a report back, and they do that for businesses all over. The stronger the relationship with the university, the more accurate and up-to-date information we're going to have to be relevant. One of the things that we have to understand now, if you're going to hire someone and you do an interview, you're not interviewing them. They're interviewing you. So you better make sure they understand what they're going to do, why they're going to do it, what's in it for them, how are they participating to make the company grow, how are they making the society better, how are they making the community better, why they work for you. Well, take those same principles to our members. People talk about the what. It's the why that's the key. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? Why do we need to do this? Why is this city going through all the code reform? It's great they're doing it, but if they don't tell you the why, you don't understand the logic behind it. So we really want to be a chamber of the why, and that's going to help us get there. And then understanding, Steve Jobs was the best about it. I'm going to hire people smarter than me. I am not the smartest person in the room. I'm going to hire people that are going to make us better and then treat them well and give them not give them a reason to leave.
Right. That's key. That's everything.
It is. It's everything. Acquire great talent and then don't give them the reason to leave. Was it 80% of the people leave because of management?
Right.
Yeah.
So don't.
Chambers in other places have become advocacy organizations and take positions on issues and, you know, and put money into campaigns and all. Do we do that here?
We do not get involved in any political activities. Do we want to get involved in things? You bet. Susan A. Patrick at United Way has a program on suicide. It's a very important thing to me and to a lot of our folks. We're going to be involved in that. We're involved with childcare. We're involved with the 4th D Club. Does anybody know what the 4th D Club even does? Mm-hmm. It's the only place in town you can go to do your 12 steps after rehab. It's the only place in town to help you after rehab.
Wow.
If we can have people have success there, they don't become unhoused. So we're looking for ways that we can engage in the community on initiatives in the community. That's why the relationship with Destination, Midtown, Downtown are so important in MEP to know what they're working on. So, hey, we can help you with this one, and we can help you with this one, and we can help you with this one. When I was in Spokane at the West Plains Chamber, we were involved in 11 initiatives, but we were not in charge of any of them. We were just helping. How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is the community saw the chamber involved in all these things, and all of a sudden we became relevant.
Sure.
That's when I important. When I got to the West Plains, they had about 230 members, and over 80 of them had not paid their dues in 2 years, so they really weren't members. When I left, we had 302 paying members.
Wow.
And the reason they joined was not because of our events, because of the things we were doing in the community. We're going to use the same framework here. Now, it's only been 3.5 months. We're still working through to figure out what we're going to do. But that's the goal. That's the focus.
Lots of times, chambers offer more concrete kinds of services. For example, like putting together a group for health insurance so that small companies can get some benefit of being part of a larger entity. Is that something you do or contemplating doing?
It's something we can sure look at. It's in today's healthcare market, most chambers have gotten out of it because it's so controlled. There's very little open market medical anymore. Our medical is pretty much controlled by the government. So it's really hard to find a niche to fit that into. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's there, but probably not something to put our energy in right now because it's not going to give us the return that we need for time to make the biggest impact on the community.
Sure. So take a step back. You've been here for 3.5 months. 1, 2, and 3, what were the first three things on your list that you wanted to really focus on to get things going?
Number one was staff.
Okay. Talk about it.
My third day there, we had a 3-hour empathy class. Everybody talks about teamwork, collaboration, helping. But if empathy isn't above all that, people don't want to help. They need to understand that person cares who I am. Not my job, but cares who I am. When you get that, you start to have a team.
Right.
Number two, those organizations, city, county, university,
MEP. Building the bridge.
Building the bridge.
Right.
Hey, Grant Kerr at MEP, how can we work together and how can I help? He said, wonderful. Glad you're here. Let's do this, this, and this. Same with Linda downtown, same with Midtown, same with, it's just, how can we help you? I'm not asking for anything for me. How can I help you? And doing that, and it's creating these relationships that we're going to do good things.
How do you convince in organizations that were so used to doing it one way with the chamber that it's a little different now? Because I do think that's what you encounter when you come in new, right? In a sense,
here's the advantage. They knew me from before.
Right, so you were familiar.
They saw me work. They saw me in the community.
And they still want to work
they
with
saw,
you?
And they still want to work. I know, it's crazy.
I did.
They saw me at all the events, and they saw me giving back. And being open and honest and truthful. Just be honest what you can do or can't do.
Right.
And when you say, I want to help, I was very fortunate when I was young. I got to go to a football camp at Whitworth College in 1977. Kenny Stabler and Fred Blitnikoff were there the year before they won the Super Bowl. And one of the things that Stabler said I never, ever forgot, don't tell me how fast you can run. Bring me the stopwatch. My actions will always speak louder than my words.
Right.
And I'm always thinking about that. How is this going to affect? How is this? What do they need? And so if you show up and give effort with genuine humbleness, but with tenacity, people will welcome you in. Don't give them a reason to not work with you.
So the first thing of the three that Scott asked you about was staff and, you know, having a three-hour empathy session. What else were...
Second was the third. Third was my board, have them engage.
Right.
But at the same time, there's really four, because this happened at the same time, was our investors, our members. I was doing 5 meetings a day, 5 days a week.
Wow.
I was on a pace to do over 300 meetings this year.
Mark called me the minute he got the job, and then I knew he was coming. But then when he got here, he goes, I want to get that show back going. Because he need. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you wanted a communication. You wanted to use as many communication channels as you possibly can to communicate the vision and the and what's going on, to engage.
If people don't know what you're doing, they'll make an assumption.
Right.
And I have no control over that. So as much as I could be in front of people, one-on-one, break espresso, every place in town, hey, can I just pop by, see how you're doing, say hello? I had a meeting set up downtown. I go, I got 20 minutes to kill. I'm going to stop into the job services building. So I stopped in for 20 minutes. Now I'm on one of their committees helping them. It's truly just show up. We're in an age of everything is text and email. And
Quick ID. Our guest is Mark Loesch. He's the president and CEO of the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. Arnie.
So Mark, I'm a new small business in town. We'll pick one from your sweet spot. I run a little new coffee shop I'm taking over. I call you guys up and say, you know, I was thinking of joining the chamber. Give me your pitch. Tell me why I should be a member.
I can't tell you why you should be a member until I know what you're doing, what your vision is, what your goals are. What is it you need help with? What's kept you up last night? What's keeping you up on the weekends?
And that's a refreshing way to approach it, right? Because it's usually, here's our services, right? We do this sort of
thing. It's solutions-based.
Yeah, right. And you want to dig beneath the surface.
What can I do for you right now today? I ask that a lot. What can I do for you right now?
Do people tell you what you can do for them?
They will, because you're asking a direct question. Hey, do you need some help? No, I'm good. Hey, what can I do for you right now? What kept you up last night? Well, I've got this. All right, let's talk about it. And usually it's a small shift. No one's making major changes to make their company healthy. Usually it's just a small shift. And because everybody in business is in the middle of the fight, they can't see it from the outside. In the Army, why does the commander only have a pistol? Because if he has a rifle, he gets in the firefight. Now no one's leading.
Right.
So by looking at it from the outside, I have a different view, and my team has a different view. And it doesn't mean I'm right. I've probably made more mistakes in 40 years than anybody else around. I just keep learning from those, and maybe I can keep someone else from stepping on a landmine.
So it's accurate to say you have your pulse on businesses, and that you're seeing, you know, you're having all these meetings, you're on pace to meet with hundreds of businesses. You know, you're asking good questions to get inside of them. So what are the common issues that a lot of Missoula businesses are facing today? It has to be finding workers and compensating them fairly, but there may be more to that picture than just the headlines.
We're going to have on May 15th a property crime roundtable sponsored by Brett's RV that will be held at their facility. The flyers are going out tomorrow, so this is breaking news. And we're asking businesses that are experiencing property crime to come and talk to us. Tell us what's going on. Then as a group, let's see if we can find some solutions, some ideas that we can present to the city and the county as a group that is organized and being calm, but giving ideas. So we're going to do that roundtable.
Yeah, it's always easy. It's so easy to complain, but to make recommendations and to be solutions oriented is the work.
That's what we're going to do.
And I believe, I, which begs the next question, you've met with all the different organizations in town, the different groups, and obviously your membership and your employees, but we have a new government. We have a new, mayor, Andrea. And we've had her on this show before. We've had lovely conversations with her. How have you endeavored to, you know, reach out to the council and mayor and other city administrators?
County commissioners. I mean, you got a lot of layers.
I mean, there's
out
only
there.
So many hours in the day, Mark, but
there is.
Could you figure out how to get to that?
I've met with the mayor twice already.
Perfect.
I've met with four or five of our staff members that have come to see me. We have to have a strong relationship with city and county. We have to have that. If we don't have that, we don't have a voice to be heard. So in doing those meetings, it's how can we communicate? Not what we're going to communicate. How can we communicate as adults and share what my business members are saying? How do you want me to present that to you? And then the reverse of that, the city, give us the why. To the mayor, I said, if you give me a newsletter once a month of what the city's working on and why you're working on it, I'll put it in my newsletter once a month.
Perfect.
I'll send it out there.
Yeah, transparency.
Transparency. Exchanging of information.
And you're the conduit, and you can be the conduit to all these different disparate organizations and groups.
I hope so. That's the goal. If we can become the conduit, then we're doing something for the community.
Well, not only a conduit. I mean, there's a leadership role as well.
Very much.
Recently, for example, and you know this, there's a plan now that the infrastructure is going to go into the area around the Y, and over the next 50 years, it's going to be its own town with 30,000 to 50,000 people living there.
Yes.
What's that going to do to Missoula?
Have you ever been to Belgrade?
Yes.
How much money from Belgrade is spent in Bozeman?
All of it, pretty much.
This should be at the 5,000-foot level. Every business owner in Missoula should be excited about this. Right. Because there's room for controlled growth. There's room for new businesses to be out there. But there's also a whole nother population to shop in Missoula. So I think it's a win-win for everybody. Are there reasons why you shouldn't do it? There's good and bad to everything.
Right.
But why should we not do that? Where else can we grow?
Right. Well, you know, you have a responsibility and an opportunity to go below the headlines and go below, you know, the common buzz about that, because you hear other sorts of things. You know, they call Bozeman Bozangeles, right?
Yes.
You know, and Missoula with 30 or 50,000 more people, the first reaction you get from a number of people is, it's going to make it impossible to live here. Everything is, prices are going to skyrocket. You know, we're going to get all these, it's going to change the community. All these people are coming in from California, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. You have an opportunity to dig beneath that and say, you know, some of that stuff, you know, may be the truth, you know, but here is the other part of it you ought to be paying attention to.
We can't stop it. Growth is going to happen.
Right.
Right.
Fortunately/unfortunately, we live in the best place in the United States. Missoula, the mountains, everything that we have. Other people want to experience that. If we can maintain our identity, if we can maintain what Missoula is, it's not changing Missoula. It's a subset of Missoula that's not going to change Missoula because it's at the Y. This may be too juvenile thinking on my part, but I don't think it's going to change everything if the leaders of Missoula hold tight to the values of Missoula. Not that we don't, you know, not my backyard, we don't want any more growth, not that. It's the values of Missoula.
Right. Well, there's a common, you know, resistance based on a misunderstanding of what I call the good old days that never were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, Missoula's losing the way it used to be. Well, it used to be there was a box factory, you know, spewing smoke in the air. In the 80s and the 90s, there was a lot of boarded up businesses downtown in Missoula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the notion, just like nationally, you say we want it to be the 50s again. You don't really want that again because you only remember, you know, the Leave It to Beaver part of the 50s. You don't remember what it was really like. And what Missoula was like in the 70s and 80s isn't the town that it is today. And it's not as good in many ways as the town it is that it's today.
From a business point of view, what big business do we have in Missoula? I'm talking 100 employees or more. We just lost one.
Right. University and the hospital.
Yeah. So if we do that, we now have housing. And if you have housing, you can have employees. And now we look attractive for bigger companies to come and build here,
right,
which helps on the city and the county and the tax base, gives us more high-paying jobs, and gives us the financial infrastructure to be able to keep growing so we don't put so much tax burden on the homeowner and get it into the businesses.
Which is very important. How would you classify Missoula as a community in the sense that Whitefish, we know, really relies on resort, right? They have a resort tax. What's and Bozeman is also highly reliant on the university, but also Big Sky.
And tech.
Well, right, and tech. So if you're thinking about where does Missoula fall into that continuum or that spectrum, they're not Whitefish, but we're not Bozeman. Where are we?
I think we're figuring that out.
What does that mean?
That means we could become what we want to become.
That's a good answer, because what do we want to become? What would you, you know, obviously you're talking to all the different constituents, right? What are you hearing? What's some commonality, some themes that you're hearing?
I think we are so poised to be a community that can really grow with manufacturing, distribution, building things, making things, that type. Because you've got the tech there, you've got Whitefish up there. But because of the highways, we're 3 hours from Spokane.
Right.
We've got rail. We have everything here. This could be a truly growing area for manufacturing. And I think
we're better located than any other city in Missoula.
It is.
In Montana, excuse me.
And Missoula gets less snow every year than Spokane last 4 years. I mean, our weather for Montana is wonderful.
Yeah.
Except for today. But I mean, we are really poised to become a manufacturing, distribution, that type of thing. We got the first Amazon building out there.
Right.
I was in the West Plains. We had four Amazon buildings. One of them was 2.3 million square feet. They have their own hangar at the airport. There's 1,500 people working at Amazon in the West Plains. So I think we are poised to be manufacturing is what I personally think. Has anybody told me that? No, it's 100% just my off-the-cuff thoughts.
Well, it's a better vision than just being in the service business.
Services and retail, that's all we have right now.
And service and retail is hard to keep employees. You know that for 35 years in the restaurant business. How many times were you doing dishes in your restaurant?
Constantly.
Yeah.
I've been in 13 industries.
Right.
And it's across the board in every single industry. The fact that we have, when you start looking at what's going on at the Y and the distance from the Y back, the amount of room out there with infrastructure for manufacturing and things like that, all we're waiting for is utilities. We get utilities out in the Y area and out in the industrial area. It's going to change that whole setup also.
Right, and they're looking to do that.
If you look out there now, there's a lot of buildings that are small on a big piece of land.
Yeah.
Because if their building goes up 50 square feet, now they have to have fire sprinkler systems.
But there's no
infrastructure to support the fire sprinkler systems. So if we got utilities out to the industrial area, it changes everything, which the county's working on. I mean, these are all things that are being worked on. But yeah,
So of the different constituents and groups that you've worked with, I imagine Grant Keir and the MEP is a really important one, because the vision of becoming a manufacturing distribution kind of, you know, hub, if you will, they would have to share that vision.
100%.
Because they're the ones that are kind of first in line, in a sense, or on the front line to talk to a company and to try to bring them into and make Missoula home.
MEP has a very, very important role in this community. Downtown has a very, with Linda, important role to keep downtown healthy. Midtown, with Emily Brock, very important because there's so much growth in the Midtown area. There's different individuals that understand the responsibility. And if we're all talking and working together, think about what can get done.
Yeah, well, Missoula, you know, you talk about it being a hub. It's not only a hub for new business, but it's a regional hub for all the little towns that are also growing around Missoula. You know, from Darby all the way up, you know, in the Bitterroot, you know, halfway up, you know,
suburbs.
The Flathead. I mean, but all these little towns come to Missoula for all of its support.
We reach 75 miles circumference around.
We know.
That's huge.
That's
how we talk about it when we do for marketing.
That makes it what, 200,000 people?
We are a regional center for commerce.
How is your experience with Missoula, because you have a lot of it, compare to your experience, your past role in Spokane area? Are there some common similarities of Spokane and Missoula?
Two different states. Washington State and Montana run their states very differently.
Explain.
Montana. Well, we don't have a sales tax.
Right.
Spokane, you do. Spokane County has 550,000 people in it.
Right.
We don't have that much population. Spokane is becoming a tech center and an aerospace manufacturing center, and it's also becoming a. Everybody's leaving Seattle and going to Spokane. I mean, it's just people are leaving.
So higher paying jobs, higher wages.
Higher paying jobs.
Well, it's close because it's geography.
And you've got the universities, you've got the Air Force Base, you've got all kinds of things. So Spokane is really growing right now and growing fast. The West Plains was the fastest growing light industrial area in the state of Washington, mm-hmm. which is Cheney Manor Lake Airway Heights.
Right.
We could become that with bringing manufacturing to our area.
So you're talking about not just manufacturing, but bringing higher wage manufacturing, right? And distribution.
Especially manufacturing.
And of course, Spokane also has this other advantage. It's closer to Canada,
mm-hmm.
which has a lot of trade implications.
Right. They have a really nice airport, too.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's hard to get to. For our size of a community, our airport in another year is going to be pretty
good. We're doing great things. All these things are all positive. It's all changing. Yeah. That's why I say, what's Missoula going to be? We're going to figure it out. It's you know.
So this begs the question, as we talk about the different communities like Kalispell, Bozeman, Great Falls, etc., are you in touch with the other chambers in each of those communities?
Montana Area Executives Mace, we meet twice a year.
Nice.
We're in contact constantly. Every chamber is run individually. We're separate.
Mm-hmm.
But we all come together, especially when it's time for legislation to take place. And then I have a great relationship with Todd O'Hare at the state chamber, which we'll be connecting to heavily. But yeah, all of us work together. We understand the strength of Montana as a whole for all of our businesses comes from all of us talking and know what's going on. So yeah, we get together.
Is there a chamber somewhere, Montana or not, that you admire and you want to try to emulate?
Prescott Valley Chamber of Commerce, Arizona. Marnie Yule, been there 30 plus years. Buckeye Valley Chamber in Arizona, Deanna Kupsick, 27 years. They, because they've been there so long, they have so much track record, but they've really understood how to engage with the community and not events, but truly engage with the community, what's going on. And so those are some of the things I want to do. Kalispell, very strong chamber.
I can't help but think that as
same with Bozeman, you know, mm-hmm.
same with Bozeman,
and
right?
Same with Billings.
I can't help but think that as a small business owner back when you were 16, a restaurant, etc., was there someone who was in a role like the chamber that was kind of a mentor that helped you kind of see the bigger picture of where all this could go and where your business could go too,
I was really blessed. My grandfather was a hero. He was Bob Hope and John Wayne combined with a business mind.
Hmm.
When we decided to do the restaurant, and while it was under construction, he sent me to Dale Carnegie at 16 years old.
Wow. Ah.
Back then, you had to be 18. He got a waiver. And so I went through 9 weeks of Dale Carnegie at 16 years old.
Holy mackerel.
And it changed my entire vision of understanding what business could be and what life could be in the business world. It's where I really understood what entrepreneurism is, even back in 77.
Right.
And that made a big difference. And then I was in the finance world in 86, and I was blessed to be given a scholarship to a Tom Hopkins boot camp, How to Master the Art of Selling.
Sure.
And that boot camp is you don't sleep for 3 days, and it teaches you communication skills.
Jeez.
Did you say help? Help.
And
when I was 16,
I went back again and did it again. And that was very enlightening. I don't know if you even answered your question
well. You did. You absolutely did. So go back a little further. Let's furnish us with some details about your growing up family. Any siblings?
My sister is 2 years older.
Okay.
I ran the restaurant and sent her to college at Central Washington University, and she became a teacher,
nice.
Principal, superintendent, ran districts.
What did your folks do?
My dad was a grader operator until he fell off the top of it and hurt his back and had a medical retirement. My mother was a florist and ran a fabric store and just ran businesses. She was the entrepreneur of the family. Mm. We opened the restaurant. My dad was a baker and became an unbelievable world-class baker. Ground our own Montana red hard wheat in 1977.
Wow.
We drove over here and got the wheat twice a year and took it home and stored it. And my grandfather's favorite line was, well, it's got to get done.
Yeah.
Hey, dinner's almost ready. Yeah, we got four more posts to put in the ground. It's got to get done. And so when you grow up on a farm, it's the cows eat first. And you got to get it done.
You got to get it done.
And the entire community of Wild Rose Prairie, where I grew up, everybody watched out for everybody.
Right.
And so I had multiple influences in my life that helped me understand the value of a hard day's work and the value of being proud of what you did, no matter what it was.
Where did you get?
And relying and leaning on other people when you needed to. Yeah. There was no shame in doing that.
No, lean on other people, but also be there for them.
Them too. I mean, it's mutual.
Yeah. Well, what I'm most struck with Mark is knowing him, as long as I've known him, his attitude is very positive. I've never heard a negative word out of him. Ever. It's just very practical and pragmatic.
Well, he started at an early age getting the positive, attitude of a Dale Carnegie and all these other folks.
But nothing throws you off either. I noticed that. Like, nothing ever throws you off the farming kind of background? It's like, it's got to get done. It's like...
My grandfather told me, he says, when you complain, 80% of the people don't care, and 20 are happy that you're having a bad day.
Right.
So it's a waste of time.
Right. Good point.
Scott and I are foodies, so I got to ask you a food question.
He talked to me about food the other day.
Yeah. So you have all these restaurants. Well, what was your go-to thing? What was the thing you were known for when people came into one of your restaurants?
At your restaurant.
Your restaurants.
At the first restaurant, the Breadboard, I had a minister give me his buttermilk pancake recipe that has a certain trick to it. Yeah. You could read it and you couldn't put it together. There was a trick. We sold more pancakes than hash browns.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, they floated when you turn them over back on the grill.
Oh, that's nice.
What was a key ingredient without telling us how to use it?
Buttermilk.
You gotta use a
at the very end, you take clarified butter that's room temperature, can't be hot, can't be cold, and you fold it gently in. And when the butter cooks, it fluffs it.
Nice. Jeez.
And then...
sounds like Ted Lasso's recipe for the little cookies he gives his...
Barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's right.
Chicken fried steak, Texas style. Ooh. And you got to have some Texas gunpowder, which is freeside jalapeno dust you mix into the flour.
Yeah.
So it's got a little snap and a bite to it. And then you got to make really good sop gravy in the pan you cooked the chicken fried steak in.
We're not going to put you on the spot and ask you your favorite restaurant here in Missoula.
Because there's a lot of restaurant members.
But let's go back to the Spokane. Where were you, or the community you were in? What were some of your favorite?
Breakfast is Billy's Diner in Airway Heights. Everything locally sourced. She built this diner in remembrance of her father named Billy, who passed away about 5 years before she opened it. So I loved that. Iron Goat had sourdough crust pizza that cracked.
Wow.
And when you picked it up, it didn't flop. You know how you get that pizza flop?
No, the flop back east.
No, you can pick it up and fold it. That was really, really good. Yeah. So those are some of my Longhorn Barbecue, been around since 1956.
So you grow up on a ranch, you're in rural areas. How old were you when you went to New York?
I was 16.
And do you remember what your reaction was when you show up in New York City?
It was claustrophobic.
You looked up, ladies
and gentlemen.
You looked
up. Don't look up. Yeah.
So I actually spent the summer in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
So we flew to New York, spent the night, then flew to Puerto Rico, spent a week in Puerto Rico, and then went to Venezuela because we had exchange kids that lived with us when I was 6. And then he went back, became a successful businessman. He said, you pay for your plane ticket, you come and spend the summer. So we landed at JFK. He had to fly out of LaGuardia. And remember the helicopter would fly around and stop at the top of the building?
Yes.
Do you remember in 77 it fell off the building?
No, but that sounds like it could happen.
I was on that. I was on it 2 weeks before it fell off. But that was the biggest thing, is just how dense, how close, compact. It was not a good experience at that time for me.
Right. Not at 16.
Right. No. And then what was Venezuela like?
That was back when it was a healthy, vibrant, thriving, beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. It was a great experience to be out of our country to see things. And see how another country works and how they live and how the people live. And the hardest thing is they go to dinner at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
We had dinner at 6 and in bed by 9. And it's like, That was a big change in the whole siesta thing and all that. But it was a wonderful culture to be in. I was living with a Cuban family. So a lot of, it was in Venezuela, it was very much Cuban. And the food. Yeah, I love food, by the way, too.
That's good. So tell us a little more. Family here, your wife and...
My wife is here. We live down in Florence area.
Got it.
We've found a place to live there. It's not easy to find a place to live, as you know.
We do know that.
She's here. My mother is in an assisted living over in the Olympia area and at 88, doing well.
Good.
My dad passed 7 or 8 years ago to prostate cancer. Excuse me, to... not prostate, the...
Gallbladder? No, pancreas.
Pancreas, thank you. Sorry, brain freeze. I'm getting old. My sister lives in Onalaska, which is below Centralia Shaharis area.
Mm-hmm.
She lives over there. When her daughters live in the Portland and that area, and there's grandkids down there.
Yeah. So you're all West focused. Now, you spent time in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
And Tacoma has really changed.
Drastically.
And what's your take on it now from a business, economic?
No offense, I would not live there. I wouldn't move a business there. It's gotten dangerous in many places there.
You get a feel of that.
And that's happening a lot in the state of Washington. There's just a different mentality of rules, regulations, police, all that. It's just different. And I'm just going to be careful with what I say, but I wouldn't live there.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Tacoma has, in terms of, when you look at it on the surface, they got the train service right from there to downtown Seattle, so you don't have to live in Seattle. You can live in Tacoma area and all that sort of thing. You know, but when you, as you said, when you dig down below it, there's a lot of other things that mitigate, you know, all of the positive things they try to do.
Tacoma is still the port. The port of Tacoma runs Tacoma.
Right.
And it's one of the best deep ports in the world, natural port. So it's always going to be busy that way. But it's just... I live in Montana.
That's right.
And you're happy to be here. Our guest is Mark Loesch. He is the president and CEO of the Missoula Chamber of Commerce. Back after these words. All right, Arnie, we are back with our guest, Mark Loesch.
Mark, tell us what's coming up that the Chamber's sponsoring, and how do people get a hold of you? How do they join? How do they find out what's going on?
Thank you very much. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming to the State of Missoula that was last week. Sold out, 7 organizations on stage, 10 minutes. What's Missoula now? Thank you all that attended. You can reach me at markl@missoulachamber.com, markl@missoulachamber.com, or the phone number is 406-543-6623. Every single Tuesday, we have our business after hours. You can find out where it is on our website. On May 15th, we're going to have a property crime roundtable. Watch our newsletter and information coming out for that. It's going to be at noontime from 11:30 to 1 at Brett's RV. We're going to raffle off an RV this summer in conjunction with Brett's RV, 31-foot front king bed, 1,000 tickets sold, closed number, $100 a ticket. Watch in 2 weeks, we're going to introduce that, and we're going to peel off $25,000 to an initiative in town and give back to the community.
What's that about? Give me a little more about that.
We have to prove that we want to do something. So how do you do that? Take action. Show me the stopwatch. We're going to give $25,000 back from the proceeds of this raffle off this RV. We're going to have $25 back to an initiative in town.
This is fantastic. This is the kind of action we like to see.
Right.
Right?
We're all about action.
We're going to have another show to talk about all this stuff.
Of course.
Well, of course we will. You're a great guest. I mean, I knew you would be, but what a great guest you are.
We wanted to give you a few months on the job so we had something to talk about.
He doesn't care. He would have been here January 3rd. I know him.
Yeah.
He would have been here January 3rd.
Well, Mark, let's get it done.
Get her done. Thank you, Mark, for joining us.
Thank you very
today.
Much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it too. Arnie, I'll see you Sunday.
See you
next soon. Sunday.
Next Sunday. Okay. See you soon. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.